Hello, Miss. This is Michael Criswell. I'm wanting to email you back. I received your most recent email on the unforgiveness and the occult. Well, I praise God that your eyes have been opened to that, because sure, that stuff is all very, very evil. And if you've renounced it, you know you can receive in faith that you've been forgiven of that sin in faith, and you can believe it, unless the Lord shows you anything else that's in your way. As I'm just going through your email, looks like the Lord exposed it, shows you you're on your way to hell. I have to tell you, that's very much like the Lord. And I really believe the Lord is pursuing you, and He's trying to quicken you in your spirit to let you know that indeed there is a day of judgment coming for all of us. It's appointed for man to die once, and then the judgment. I'm not sure if I told you this in the last recording, but many of God's greatest saints have actually been scared into the kingdom. I mean, they were all afraid of God's judgment, and the Lord gave them dreams, visions, helped them to understand that the judgment day is real. I see that you've been watching people like Paul Washer, Jacob Prosh. I'm not sure I know much about him. I believe he's the Messianic Jew. I'm not 100% sure if I have the right guy. Francis Chan, I don't know him very well, but I know of him. And I've had a few other people say that he and I have the same message. Paul Washer, I know of Paul Washer from his videos, and a few of which I saw in the past. And I know that he's preaches a very hard word of God. He probably is very much like a Leonard Ravenhill. Praise God, you're taking the John 7:17 challenge. I love it. Sounds like you've found the unforgiveness maybe issue towards yourself. And I believe it's like the Lord allowed you to feel that sweet kiss of His presence that day. Now you want to persist in that. The Lord will be happy to test your faith to see if you really believe Him, even when circumstances have been made difficult in your life, or when the Lord is pleased to remove His consolation from consoling you. And the bad thoughts. Sister, what these thoughts are really could be one of two things. It could be that there's still an open door somewhere that you're being tormented like this. And it also could be, depending upon what stage you are in your relationship with God, true relationship with God from a surrender standpoint, because sister, I can tell you, virtually nothing counts in our relationship with God until we fully surrender. I might be able to tell you of 27 years Christian experience I have, but I testify that the first 19 don't even count. Now, sure, God used them because He uses all things together for the good, but they really don't count because I wasn't fully surrendered. I was playing Christianity, and I had a relationship with Christianity, really not with Christ. I was trying, and I think the Lord was pleased to bless me in spite of the fact that that was the case because of my ignorance. It wasn't like I was intentionally trying to live apart from God. I was just ignorant and deceived. You're saying you can't focus or concentrate, so you're getting hit with all these thoughts. Okay, so is there any door open? As you go through the John 7:17 challenge, ask the Lord to reveal to you the dark spots in your heart. This is one of the most powerful prayers I ever prayed. God moved me to ask Him to reveal to me. See, you have to ask. It's like the woman at the well. Jesus says to her, if you only knew what it was, the gift that God gives, and who it was that is asking you for a drink of water, you would ask Him. I see there this principle, God demands us to ask. So ask Him to show you the dark spots of your heart. Be like a child. The child doesn't know, you know, why they can't cross the street by themselves, why they can't eat candy all day. They have to ask the Father, and the Father will tell them. So just ask. The other thing it could be is that it could be a time of wilderness, temptation for you. It could be that this is a breakthrough in your relationship with God. You've recently surrendered. God means business with you now. And unfortunately, you are now in a situation where you're being tested. Just like Jesus in the wilderness, He's being tested. And the devil will come to assault your faith in God and try to get you to question it and doubt it, so forth and so on. I really believe that's probably what's happening, is you're now going through a season of testing. And the devil is not going to just roll over and give up. He certainly is going to try harder. You're not sinning now. That's wonderful. You keep getting attacked. Take up the shield of faith, sister. The way you get rid of the devil is to resist him. You submit yourself to God first, and then you resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So One of the things I began to do is the Bible says, be joyful always, pray continually, and give God thanks in all circumstances. This is a secret. It's written right in the Bible, so it's not really a secret. But this is certainly what I have personally found to be a secret, a weapon against the enemy, is to thank God for him. Thank God. Begin to praise God for all of these attacks. Sister, I will tell you this absolutely definitively. You're far better off being tormented by devils telling you you're going to hell and God can't save you than you are to be one of these millions of people who call themselves a Christian and are absolutely certain that they're going to go to heaven when they die. And for sure, they're going to hear, flee from me, I never knew you. Okay? So thank God that you're not one of these lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, lovers of the world, that you're not half-hearted, watered down, disobedient, unholy, ungrateful, but in fact, praise God for the works of the devil in your life. See, this is one of the greatest reasons of the devil, and that's the reason why the Father is pleased to allow him. Many good reasons, one of which is he's an incredibly motivating tool in the hands of God to shape us into the image of Christ. So thank God for him. Say, Father, I thank you that you've been pleased to allow these devils to attack me. Lord, your word says that you are sovereign, that your kingdom rules over all, and that you sit in the heavens and you do whatever you wish in the heavens above, in the earth, and in the seas and all their depths. Lord, your word says in Proverbs 16:4 that we know that you work out everything according to your own ends. We know Ephesians 1:11 says you're working everything out in conformity with your purpose. We know Romans 8:28 says you work all things, and that means the devils and what they do. So just begin to praise him. Now, sister, this takes faith, okay? And it takes a good understanding of God. I can tell you, you will be blessed if you praise God for the devils in your life. If you do not know any known sin in your life, okay? I wouldn't be telling you this if you told me you're struggling with this, that, and the other. You can't stop drinking, smoking, sexing, lying, cheating. I would say to you, good luck. You're in trouble. You got to get that out of your life. But when you tell me that you are not walking in sin and your heart is sincere for the Father and you're still hearing these voices, begin to thank God for them. And I'll tell you why. God is your only great circumstance. The life of a true Christian knows that God is everything and everything else is nothing. So God is your only great circumstance. All other circumstances in your life, this being one of them, are the best and kindest circumstances because they're either directly caused by the Father or they're permitted by the Father. Okay? So the Lord's allowing this to happen. Remembering Job, the Lord is pleased to show us that, first of all, Satan shows us that there's a hedge of protection around us, number one. Number two, several hedges. And number two, God has seen that he has to give permission to Satan to touch Job. So if he's touching you, it's only with his permission, okay? Just a few days ago, the Lord was pleased to allow me to have tormenting thoughts, okay? My thoughts are tormenting for a different reason. It's to keep me humble. The Father has been pleased to pour out much grace upon my life, and I'm helping hundreds and hundreds of people, actually probably a good number of people more than I'm even aware of. And in order to keep me low, the Father is pleased to allow me to be touched. It's like a thorn in the flesh that Paul would speak about. So when that happens, I'm not walking in sin. I don't have to feel shame or guilt for anything like that. I just begin to praise God because it's an answer to my prayer, to keep me low, to keep me humble, to keep me dependent upon God. And every once in a while, the Lord will remove his consolation and comfort from me and allow me to feel. And that helps me know that I am absolutely nothing, sister, without him. That if the Father were to remove his grace from me, I would be absolutely doomed, okay? So praise God for this. Lord God, thank you for allowing me to be touched by the devils. Thank you that you've seen in your perfect wisdom, Lord, to allow them to afflict me with thoughts. Thank you, God, that you've trusted me enough and cared enough about me to allow me to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, that this has some good purpose, and praise him. Sister, I tell you the truth, you'll run the devils off, okay? And God will be pleased. You'll draw the Father's heart to you and you'll chase off the devils. So just in faith, take up the shield of faith with which to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. What does that mean? That means that you know Father's in control, not the ugly one. And that means whatever Father's allowing is good. You see, I hope I hope you're getting this by the Holy Spirit's help, because I'm not speaking it so clearly because I'm struggling so much in my head. God bless me. However, you asked another good question. You said, Paul Washer says, seek God violently. How do I do that? I believe I know what Paul Washer is speaking of. There's a scripture that says that forceful men are laying hold of the kingdom of God and they're taking it by force, okay? So I believe this is what he's alluding to. To me, here's what it means. When you think of Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, where Jesus Christ speaks against adultery, and he goes on to say, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your right foot causes you to sin, cut it off. Jesus is telling you to violently assault any sin in your life. Jesus is telling you to take drastic action. Sister, so many people will never do this. That's what Paul Washer, I really believe, means when he says for you to seek God violently. It means be willing to cut off anything and everything in your life, including up to your own life, in order to possess the kingdom of God. Think of the kingdom of heaven as like a treasure whom a man found. And when he found it, he buried it in the field, went and sold all that he had, and came back and bought that field. That's a very violent approach. That's a very destructive, costly thing to do. The kingdom of God, to possess it fully, will cost you everything. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless a man gives up everything he has, he cannot be my disciple. That means you have to do violence to yourself. When Paul speaks of being a living sacrifice in Romans 12:2, sacrificing yourself is violence. You're doing death to yourself. Think about it. The cross is an instrument of death. So as soon as you deny yourself, when you deny doubt, when you deny pleasures, when you deny sinful thoughts, when you deny carnal habits, whatever it is, when you deny being justified, when you allow yourself to be wronged, when you don't watch that certain show, when you don't eat that certain food, when you don't hang out with those certain people, when you stop going to that certain church, when you, whatever it is that the Father asks you to deny yourself, you're doing violence to yourself. You see? You're hurting yourself. And that's actually exactly what Jesus Christ commands us to do. So I hope that helps you understand that. And how you do that, it's just this simple. Deny yourself. That's how you do violence to yourself. You don't fight the cross. You deny yourself. And know this, that the Father is pleased once he sees your faith. He brings grace. And that thing that really was so painful becomes far and far less painful. In fact, you'll get to a time where you won't believe that you ever even made a sacrifice. Like me, I can't even comprehend that I made a sacrifice for the Lord. How could I say I made a sacrifice when I never had a life of my own to sacrifice to begin with? And my Lord is the one who really sacrificed himself that I might live. And the reward of what I have now, it's Romans 8:18, sister. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. Thank you, Jesus. That's what it is. It's Romans 8:18. When you make a sacrifice for the Lord today, it hurts. But he says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing. I tell you, I believe that our present sufferings are not worth comparing even with some of the present glory that's revealed in us. To be filled with the Spirit of Christ is truly unbelievable, truly indescribable. Hence, Peter says it's an inexpressible, glorious joy. I want to thank you for your recording. You helped me. Praise God. I'm glad you were having a panic attack. Just again, submit yourself to the Lord. Father, I need help with this. I'm asking you because I believe you. Now I take up the shield of faith. Remember, the Lord is not going to do it all. People have been wrongly taught that Jesus did it all. Okay? It's not true. Jesus provides it all. And Jesus paid it all. But in order for you to possess that which Jesus paid for, you have a critical role to play. All right? You have a critical role. You have to show God your faith. By actions, not just your words. On the knees, oh, I believe you, I believe you, I believe you. But when you get up and you walk away and you demonstrate a behavior that shows you don't believe, God says, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts and legs are far from me. Okay? Meaning you're not walking what you're talking. I'm not saying that this is your instance. I'm just saying be real careful about that. Again, thank you to you and your wife for doing that. Milignon-Azon, that's two. Absolutely no problem. I'm actually taking a break. I will reply to your emails. I've removed the contact button off of our website. I'm going to be taking a break for about a month, but by all means, since we're already in contact, if your husband has a question, wants to reach out, we'll do the best we can with God's help to help you. Thank you so much, Mr. May the Father bless you, bless you, bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May He fill you with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. May He increase His knowledge of His will in your heart and life. May He fill you with love for yourself, for one another, and most importantly for Him. And may God give you the perseverance to endure through this difficult time. Keep your eyes on Him, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame. Sister, if you'll endure, you will see the deliverance of God. Persevere in Christ, and after you've done Father's will, you will indeed receive what He has promised. God bless you, sister. Bye-bye.